Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Kavaza, and for today, we are in the first week of August 2020. It is Women's Month, and we are joined by a panel of ladies that are going to be telling us about women in the economy, and because they are from Liberty, they're going to be telling us about an initiative, a series of conversations that they are having around the economic environment, and also you know, some of the issues as they pertain to women in the economy. So to sort of help us unpack some of these issues, we are joined by Daphne Rampasad, who is the head of financial planning at Liberty, together with Babazi Lembete, who is the head of group PR at Liberty. Let me just start off with Babazile. Greetings to you firstly. I think on our end, we just want to understand, when we say, you know, Liberty Blue table sessions, what are we talking about?
Generally, what it is, it's a virtual platform. If you think about a talk show with a host, what we have done is we've gotten the services of an award-winning financial journalist. Her name is Guguletu Mfupi, who is basically a moderator, and she moderates conversations between three women and sometimes men who are just conversing around pertinent issues such as, you know, relationships with money, your inner life, you know, challenges around this pandemic. We started the sessions. We've got a 6-part series, which we've already started, and they are available on all of our online and digital platforms. So it is our YouTube channel, our Instagram page, on LinkedIn, and on Facebook and on Twitter, all under Liberty Group SA. We just wanted an opportunity for women that work, women that are perhaps influential in their different spaces. We have other women and even men, as I said, but we always have an internal voice from a Liberty point of view. And we converse around how to navigate this world, you know, in these different topics that I've mentioned. It's Women's Month, as you have said. We wanted to start the conversations even before Women's Month. So we launched a week ago into Women's Month, and we've started with a segment that we are calling Womenomics. And why Womenomics? We realized that, you know, women actually do bring a lot to the table. You know, we bring financial muscle, but we also just bring you know, a considerable value around the home. And yet the challenge is still the fact that women still earn less than men. And our issue is, you know, why are we still battling those issues? So the platform creates an opportunity for us just to get conversational, just to dig deeper, you know, and look at these issues and again just address them in a very positive manner and get the conversation going.
Daphne, I want to, you know, switch over to you when it comes to, you know, some of these issues, looking at statistics. It's quite clear that women still face considerable challenges when it comes to being empowered, you know, economically. They say that on average in South Africa, women actually earn an average of 27% less than men. And at the same time, the household and care work done by women actually amounts to about 53% of the country's GDP. So from your sort of vantage point, what does Womenomics actually mean to you?
Hi, Madiwe. Yes, so let's just start off with the definition of Womenomics. So Womenomics is the catchphrase or a movement that has been discussed around the world. And the idea is that if you progress or improve the livelihoods of women in an economy, then the entire country's economy improves as a whole. So what that means is when we liberate the economic potential of women, we also elevate the economic performance of our communities, our country, but also the world. So womanomics and the discussion of it at the Blue Table sessions is a very deliberate and intentional look at the value women add to our economy, not just from a social perspective, but from an economic and financial perspective as well. And there are many stats, like you actually mentioned, that speak to how women have contributed to the overall SA economy. So yes, we do know that we contribute quite significantly to the GDP of South Africa. But something that your listeners may also not know is that 41.3% of South African households are headed by females. So females are key decision makers in the South African context. Also, South Africa produces more female than male graduates. So from a involvement perspective, it's very clear that women can and want to uplift ourselves in an economic context. It's just that we're not seeing the numbers coming through because women's employment is still quite high. We still have the gender pay gap, as you mentioned, that's now increased from 27 to 28%. Our unemployment rate is sitting at 32.4%. So there's some frightening statistics, and there's still a long path to actually to carve for women in South Africa in terms of upliftment and progress.
As a follow-up, Daphne, I understand that you've been actually part of the Blue Table sessions. What has the experience been like so far, and what part are you playing?
So, it's a fresh, exciting look at very conversational and sometimes intense and controversial topics. And the nice way, the good thing about doing it this way is that we don't just have a liberty representative or a corporate organization trying to hold the conversation and spearhead it, but we've also got leading influencers and normal women and activists that are part of the conversation. So, and my part in it is from a financial planning perspective. And what we want to bring to the table is we don't really want to empower women because women already have massive, they're already empowered. What we want to do is uplift them and make financial planning very much a part of their normal day-to-day living, something that's embedded in them. Because the only way, other than corporate SA being involved as well, the only way we're going to change some of these scary statistics if we get women to start doing the right thing in terms of financial planning and start today.
Yeah, and if I may add to that, very pertinent, you know, we see a lot of celebration around August, which is amazing. But I think for us, it's very important to Daphne's point, just to continue having these pertinent questions, conversations that are not necessarily empowering because it is our reality. And which is why I said, while we wanted women to be part of the conversations, we wanted men as well. And why did we want men? We need to change the narrative. We can't just keep talking amongst ourselves around these issues that impact or affect us, right? So the 6-part series, which is a start. We've got different iterations where in some instances we have men and some instances we don't. But I think what's interesting is, you know, there is no holding back because financial emancipation has so many different legs to it, right? And I think where financial planning while financial planning is very important, there are also other issues that impact us, such as mental health, which is a key thing around, you know, this COVID period. So it's topics such as those that we're bringing to the table and just giving an opportunity for us to narrate the issues and then to find solutions and invite South Africans to join in the conversation through these platforms that I mentioned earlier.
Babazile did touch on the fact that you do go around giving some of these talks around financial planning and financial wellness issues like that. So drawing on your professional experience, are there any specific issues that affect, women in particular when it comes to, financial planning, just trying to get your insights on that? Because I think right now we are talking about Women's Month as being August, but July saw us going through Savings Month. And one of the clear messages from there is that South Africa as a country is a country of, has tended to be a country of spenders as opposed to savers. And that's one of the issues that's really been brought to light by the current COVID-19 pandemic, that people didn't have, plans in place to actually deal with an emergency. So I just want to drill down, just around women in particular, what type of financial issues affect them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we know that South Africans in general don't save enough. We've got a poor savings culture. And for women, that problem is almost, almost at a different level, purely because we deal with other or additional societal economic issues as well. So to give you an example, we've the gender pay gap sits at 28%, which means women still earn on average 28% less than men. So we earn less and we also save much less. So from an investment perspective, our retirement savings, our voluntary savings towards investment products is also less than men. And the dilemma there is we live longer than men. So women on average live 6 to 7 years longer than men. So we should actually be saving more. But because we earn less, we save less. We've also got the unemployment factor, as I mentioned, 32.4% of women in South Africa are unemployed. And that is exacerbated by the fact that 50% of mums are single parents in South Africa. So from a societal perspective, we have a lot to actually try and sort out to eradicate these points in order to get to a point where we get women to firstly earn the same as men, but secondly, to reduce spending and increase saving. So we at least try and get these statistics to move in the right direction.
Now, Babazile, there are a lot of issues that need to be addressed, it sounds like. And I guess on financial planning, financial well-being, all of these issues, you guys are in the business of that. So I wanted to check, as someone whose job it is to actually communicate the information, what are some of the barriers that you think are sort of holding people back? Because you guys do have these platforms, and you are making information quite available to people, letting them know that these are some of the options that they do have. But at the same time, some of our problems still do persist. So from where you sit, what are some of the things that hold us back from actually just taking on, some of these platforms like a Blue Table session, and actually making sure that people, take the information and actually apply it in their lives?
Right. You're absolutely right. I think, a key component of what we do is to impart the knowledge and information, which we really try to do as best as we can. Initially, there was a perception that only wealthy people need to have a financial advisor, right? So we found that that was one of the barriers. And we've also just been consistent in communicating that particular message, that you don't necessarily need to be wealthy in order to be able to afford a financial advisor. And I'm hoping that through platforms such as Blue Table Sessions, we start to plant a seed around the fact that these issues are real, but that there is help in hand, right? And I think the second biggest perception, it's not necessarily a barrier, the second biggest perception is that when you reach out to a financial planner or a financial advisor, they are actually going to sell you products. And that adds to your already tight budget. And again, that's purely a perception. You know, our core, call to action whenever we communicate these messages is, please do find a financial advisor that is suited to you, you know, whether it's somebody in your age group or in the language that you feel comfortable with, because the role of a financial advisor is not to sell you products. It's to actually guide you and coach you, you know, on a full spectrum of things. And products happen to be one of the solutions that they may offer, but those are also dependent on what your actual needs are, because they financial advisors need to do a financial needs analysis in order to be able to recommend a suitable solution, right? So it's been those two perceptions that I think are holding people back, and I'm hoping that women that are going to tune into Blue Table sessions, you know, can read into these conversations and actually make the decision to firstly find a suitable financial advisor if they do not have one. And if they have one, actually to use Women's Month as an opportunity to just reconnect, check in, you know, check in virtually and make sure that your financial well-being is in place. And really that's it.
If I can add to that, Baba Zile, because there's some important points there. So whilst we're trying to increase awareness continue the conversation on financial planning and a lot of other financial wellness questions that affect women, remember it's not always, it doesn't always translate into investors or your ordinary South African consumer investing something or taking out a product. So it doesn't always translate into sales. But what it does do is it ensures that the client, especially during this difficult time where they may not have the resources or the funds to invest, but at least they're empowered with the knowledge that maybe they do need to start having a look at their budget, or maybe they need to consider increasing their already, their provident or pension fund at work. So it isn't necessarily about taking out a product or purchasing a product, but it's just planting that seed that maybe there's something I can review in terms of my spending habits or my purchasing power, and that will allow me to have more disposable income that I can utilize better for my short, medium, and long-term goals.
Even something as simple as, if you're struggling right now, which many South Africans are, it's also an opportunity to talk to your financial advisor about even payment relief on your policies, and then restructuring, your finances, and ensuring that at a point where you can start to pay, you can do that so that you don't lose whatever cover that you probably have in place.
Last question, because all of this stuff is in an effort to address the issues that both of you have articulated in the economy around, the place of women and their power and, upliftment that we spoke about. Do you guys think that the needle has actually moved on some of these issues, you know, at least in the time that you guys have been in your various careers, whatever vantage point you take that from? Do you think that the needle's actually moving, that there's actually progress, or has there just been stagnation? Baba Zile, I'll start with you.
I think there's been progress. One of the things that I've come to understand is that It is no longer enough for us as women to say we want to be taken seriously. You know, it is no longer enough for us to ask for a seat at the table, for instance. You know, when you have the seat at the table, I always say, make sure that you pull a chair for another woman, for another woman. So I think this is how we will and improve the circle. But more importantly, I think a lot of organizations have really moved past what used to be called, you know, token appointments just for women. I had a conversation with a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago around the fact that, you know, there's a lot of work that's being done for the girl child, which is really, really amazing. So I think from an early age, we are now teaching the girl child, to take Zozi's words, to occupy spaces. And I think it's an amazing thing to start to share with our girl children, because as they grow up and they end up in workspaces, you know, they've already it's already ingrained in their minds that you need to be able to speak up. You need to be able to empower yourself, more particularly with knowledge. You need to be able to ask for what it is that you want, you know. So I think, you know, because we started at a young age to empower the girl children, I think it's looking more and more better. There's a lot that still needs to be done. We still need to have concrete conversations around how to ask for financial reward in the right way, you know. Incidentally, last week I was listening to another interview where a financial coach or a career coach was actually referencing what we all know around a simple things such as men being able to look at a job spec, and if they meet, I think it's 40% of that criteria, they will happily go for it. And they take that same mentality into the negotiation table when it's time to negotiate for salaries, you know. Whereas with women, we want to make sure that we at least meet 90% of that requirement, and we take that same mentality, you know, when we negotiate salaries at the table. So perhaps we now need to be able to empower more women on negotiation skills, but I think you cannot negotiate if you don't understand a full spectrum of your financial needs or your full spectrum of your financial well-being, which is where I think, you know, experts such as Daphne and financial advisors come in, and which is why when we do programs such as this, we're very specific around what are the conversations that you should be having with your financial advisor in your 20s, you know, because that's the start of your career, in your 30s, in your 40s, and so on and so on. So I'm hoping that those kinds of conversations, you know, empower us even further to be able to understand, you know, the full spectrum of finance, so that when we do negotiate the salary, you understand how will it impact your career going forward, and just your financial well-being.
Daphne?
So I think there's been pockets of progress, and it depends really where you want to look. So if I look at my circle of friends and the conversations we have and what we invest in and the financial acumen and the literacy. But also if you look at the number of female graduates, as I mentioned, compared to male graduates, as well as the number of directors, women directors on the JSE, it's 20.7%, and that's increased over the number of years. Also, women tend to do better and of investing than men do. So even though we save less than men, when we actually get into the investing environment, because we've got staying power and discipline, we actually we do a better job at investing and garner higher investment returns. Also, there are an increasing number of female financial advisors that are certified financial planners that have joined the industry. So all of these speak to the fact that women are definitely recognizing the need to become more financial literate, to become more aware. And I think it's because we, the key financial decision makers in our house, whether we're the main breadwinner or not, we realize that we have to be. And I think a stat that speaks to that is that majority of the divorces in South Africa are actually initiated by females. And that's quite surprising, because if you speak to the generation of our parents, they would not even think of that, of going through that, because they were dependent on the main breadwinners, which were their husbands. And now women are independent enough to actually initiate divorce, because they're empowered and they have all of this knowledge and the ability to actually run a household by their own. So even though the statistics are quite frightening, for women that in the LSM groups that are able to make their own decisions and are empowered with the knowledge, we're definitely making progress.
So that was us with the team from Liberty. We're talking to Daphne Rampasad, who is the head of financial planning at Liberty, together with Babazile Mbetse, who is the head of group public relations at Liberty. So that was a very wide-ranging conversation, just talking about womenomics. We started off just by defining what that is, and Daphne giving us a lot of statistics around what the economy is actually looking like for women at the moment, and then Babazile telling us about the initiative that is the Liberty Blue Table sessions, where they are having a series of conversations around these issues, and they are saying that it's an ongoing series, and some of their videos are available on YouTube. I was actually looking at it earlier on. Ending off, just talking about the actual progress that's been made, and I think one of the big messages is that there have been pockets of progress. There's still a lot more that needs to be done, but it's progress nonetheless.
This is Mudiwa's Take.
Quite a fascinating discussion with the team from Liberty, just around these issues of women in the economy. And I think the most interesting facts and figures that actually came out that I think are going to actually be pushing certain demographic trends, and what we might see in the coming maybe 5, 10, 15 years is some of the statistics around the fact that the country is producing more female graduates than male graduates. That's the first one. The second one is just that fact that women and the work that they're doing are contributing 53% to the country's GDP at the moment. Very interesting figures, because I feel like as time progresses, it will be one of those undeniable things, because like what Daphne was saying, there are pockets of progress, and one hopes that as there are more pockets of progress over time, that the culmination and the combination of all of those factors results in a massive amount of progress on some of these issues, where we are closing those pay gaps, and we are talking about the fact, like what Babazile was talking about, the fact that women want to look at a job ad and feel like they need to be 90% qualified before actually going for an opportunity, versus men. And at the same time, there's a big place that men actually have to play in this conversation, because as men, if we're not progressive, then we do not lend ourselves, to the fight going forward. That's the first thing. And the second thing, it needs to be a collective effort. There needs to be an understanding on all sides to actually take the economy going forward. I'm definitely in support of it. If there's anything that I've always given to women. It's two things which I think actually lend themselves to, you know, very good success in business and career wise. The first one is an ability to multitask. I think women are much better multitaskers than men. And the second one is a certain level of organization that sometimes, you know, is really needed in some of our environments. But at the end of the day, it is the collective effort that will get us to where we need to be. So definitely encourage more of these conversations and just making sure that progress is made on all fronts, and that at the end of the day, it's not just pockets of progress that are being made in the economy. So that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live, that is under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, we're #BDSpotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail, and this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.